Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey guys, it's Candace
and Kayla, and we are Directionally Challenged.
God, we really thought we'd have it all figured out by the end of season one of Directionally Challenged. But guess what? We don't. So we are back
for season two. Woo! We are so excited to be back. I loved doing season one.
I mean, I can't believe we did it. What an accomplishment. I mean, starting from the bathroom floor of my house, just dreaming up ideas to here we are now a year later, and we're at the start of season two of Directionally Challenged. Thank you guys so much to our listeners who joined us from our episode zero of this journey. And if you didn't, that's cool. Welcome. Welcome to the Directionally Challenged family. You're more than welcome to just jump in right now.
And we are so excited about our guest today. We have a really awesome long interview with her, so I think we're going to just jump right in.
Yeah, and I don't even think we're going to tell you who it is.
I think you just need to stay tuned and listen. So here you go. And we are here with someone who is really special that we have been waiting for a really long time.
And that all of you guys have been waiting for a very long time.
Nina Dobrev!
Yeah, coming in hot. She brought tequila, a tequila piñata. We got the dogs barking outside.
They're on a play date today. And
Rebels
it's so
first
cute.
Play date. So if you guys hear a bunch of dogs barking, we are not recording this at a dog park. We are still in my living room.
Now that you say that, though, why didn't we record this at a dog park? That would have been amazing. But your house is kind of a dog park right now because of the dogs.
Yeah, it feels like it. We got baby gates, just chaos. Yeah.
And today is Candace's birthday, so we got party hats on.
Woo! Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, Marilyn.
Happy birthday to you. Children, close your ears. I am 32 today, so just cruising on through the 30s.
How does it feel, 32?
It feels like I am getting older. I like it better than 31, I gotta say. 31 didn't really have much of a ring to it, so I like the even.
Yeah, the in-betweeners are weird.
Yeah. I feel like I'm gonna like 32, 34, 36, like just hitting all the even numbers of my 30s.
I'm the weird 3-3, and that seems just like, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm
love 3-3. Like,
Jesus really? Year.
Yeah, it's my Jesus year. Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's the year Jesus apparently died. So.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. I guess it's not. Right. People always say that. And then when you actually think about it, you're like, it just takes a turn. And I told you we wouldn't talk about religion. And now here we are.
Well, no, I was just, because remember there's like what's the 27 year? There's a 27 year that's something. And
that's
then there's
when everyone died.
Yeah.
Like Janis
Joplin.
Oh,
gosh. Took another turn. And then there's 29 is obviously a weird in-betweener because you're like, it's the last hurrah of everything fun.
Well, you just turned 30, too, Neens.
Exactly.
So, what was that like?
Fresh for me.
You know, I kept for the last since 28, I started saying 30 just to get my mind and like just to prepare myself for the 30 so that it didn't sound as scary when it finally arrived. I had like a 2-year prep period.
Smart.
And so it wasn't as bad, but then I also kept telling people that. And I think I was lying to them. Just be like, yeah, I'm fine. It's been saying 30 for 2 years. But really, I was dreading and dying inside a little bit. It's weird. It's scary. It's and yet it's not, because it's not literally nothing changes. The next morning, I remember somebody asked me, like, does it feel like 30? I was like, no, actually, nothing feels different.
It feels exactly the same.
It just sounds scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like I'm not any more mature or less irresponsible or less of an alcoholic than I was when I was in my 20s. I still drink just as much.
You also threw the best 30th birthday ever.
It was
fun. You've had monumental birthdays, because your 21st birthday, we were in Vegas for that. And that was really fun. Was that your idea? I'm trying to remember.
It kind of, not really. No, it was like, remember when like the hotels would host you?
Yes.
So a hotel offered to host my 21st birthday in Vegas.
But it was like all of us.
Yeah. Well, that was the caveat. They were like, you and 5 friends can come for your 21st. And I was like, no. If I come, I will come with 30 friends. And they said, okay. And so we all obviously flew down from Atlanta. And
it wasn't just the cast. It was all of our agents, because we had the same agency.
Agents, Julie Plec and Kevin Williamson, yes, and some of the writers, yes, and all the cast and some of my friends from LA. And I don't remember if I had friends from Canada or not. I don't think I did.
For our listeners too, we had this massive suite. I mean, I think that's still to this day the biggest room I've ever stayed in. Wasn't there a piano in it? And a massive balcony with a jacuzzi. Remember?
Yes, I think so. I don't. The details are fuzzy just because it's so long ago. Not for any other reasons. Just slightly fuzzy.
Yeah, touche. Definitely very fuzzy, but for many reasons, not just what people might presume, which they are correct about.
But it was a great time. I want to talk about Canada, and I want to talk about when you moved there. You were 2 years old. So you were born in Bulgaria.
Before we talk about Canada, can I go back to Vegas for 1 second?
Oh my goodness. I'm scared. That's why I was changing the subject. Now what happened in Vegas?
We had 2 suites. Remember, we had the party suite and then we had the recovery suite. We had 1 suite for like, if you wanted to, like we all were like, a communal suite for everyone to hang out before the dinners.
That's and the like one I'm thinking of.
After the clubs. And then if somebody didn't feel like drinking anymore, we would have the suite that was for chilling and like to get away from everyone, that was quiet and safe. And it really worked, because we didn't tell anybody that there was a recovery suite except for the girls. So it was like the girls' suite.
That's so smart of us.
The boys were a little rowdy.
We were so mature at 21.
We were so grown up. You'll love this. So a few of us went to Vegas like 2 weeks ago for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And so I picked
up PTSD.
Oh my God. And so we tried to like make it, I mean, Kayla was there, pregnant, belly and all. And
what a trooper.
I know.
Pregnant Vegas is actually lots of fun, because just showing up dressed, everyone's like, oh my God, you're here.
You like win. You made it.
Yeah.
You're winning. But I picked up Ava from school and she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to Vegas, hitting the club, you know, being nerdy mom. And she was like, whoa, I can't even picture you in a club.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Which is crazy, because you're like, growing up, you were kind of the club queen.
I pride myself in that, you know what, guys? I was a little LA club rat. I went to the club every night of the week for a few years. And I was at the opening of Ledoux, but I didn't want to tell her this. You know, I don't want to like give her all my receipts. But I was just like mortified. I was like, oh my God, that's how that's where I'm at now in my life.
Yeah. That's how she sees you. But that's a good thing. You want her to see you like that.
Of course. You don't want your, you don't want to be the mom from Mean Girls.
No.
But at the same time, it's such a, Friday night was Candace's birthday party. So we all were everyone was together, old friends, new friends. And I was talking to Tanner and Joe about this. And he was, Tanner was saying that he come, when we were, a couple years ago, we would all come over and visit Candace and Joe's house. And the girls would be like, hey, what's going on? You don't play volleyball? Let's hang out. They wanted to hang out with us. And now, Tanner comes in and they're like, hey. They won't even acknowledge it. Or if they do, they'll look up and look down and they just don't care. And they're too cool because they're teenagers now. They've got their own lives.
They're very
and
cool.
And we're losers. And
right? And we're the mom crew. It's too old.
I know. Yeah. I'm always just so I feel like everyone always goes up to them and just asks them, so what are you guys listening to these days? That's the easy end with teenagers. So to any teens listening, because we know that there are some, if any adult comes up to you and is hey, what are you listening to these days? Just know that they're just saying hi.
They're just trying to connect.
They're just trying.
To the best of their ability.
No, and by the way, I remember those days too. I remember being super excited and eager to hang out with older people because I wanted to be like them. And then becoming a teenager and wanting to get as far away from all. Yeah, I definitely had that moody sort of. Not that they were moody, but they were, you know what I mean?
Just regular teen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
independence. Yes, you become independent. You don't need anyone else because you feel confident in yourself suddenly.
You and Kayla had similar high school experiences, I think, because you both were working teenagers. Because you were working on Degrassi.
The first 2 years I wasn't, but then the last 2 years I was. Yeah.
But
the first 2 years of high school.
Oh, gotcha. Yes.
The last 2 years you were on Degrassi and in high school at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you were on Freaks
and
Geeks.
Yeah. Which is so weird because what was that experience like for you? Because it was weird. It was different for me. I didn't tell anyone I was on the show. Also, the name was weird. I thought everyone would think
I'm
I was a geek.
And geeks.
Yeah.
You're the opposite of a geek.
I tell her this all the time.
But I mean, you are a geek, and I say that as a compliment.
Yeah.
You're such a dork in the coolest way possible.
I mean, I own it. I love
it. But you look like the popular girl in school.
Well, thank
you.
So,
the geek personality with the popular girl physique and exterior was probably a blessing and a curse in high school.
Well, in high school, I just was so afraid that people would think I was a freak or a geek. So I just kept the secret to myself. And then the first episode aired and everyone was like, was that you? And I was like, nope, not me.
You denied it?
Yeah. Until it was kind of obvious. And then I was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, it was me.
And just me making out with James Franco.
Oh, I wish. Are you
kidding?
Oh,
I thought you did.
No.
No, and on the show.
No. I love that you think that happened.
Oh. Did you make out with John?
No, I didn't really make out with anyone. There was one scene
obviously,
where we played
Candace
Spin the Bottle.
Candace and I are huge fans. I know. We watched every episode.
There's a Spin the Bottle episode where legitimately we just did this sort of we just played Spin the Bottle.
Had you kissed a boy before that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, she was cool.
I hope so.
You know what? Some of us made out later than others, Kayla.
But wait, what was it like in Degrassi? Because Degrassi was a huge hit, though. In Canada, right?
It was, but I had a similar thing where I didn't tell anybody. And then the show came out and people found out, but I didn't lie. But it was a little weird because I was the teen mom on the show.
Oh.
And on the show, it was not the pregnancy episode, but it was the bullying episode where everybody called my character a slut. And they said she was gross and probably loose because she had a kid. And so that was the episode that dealt with that issue with the way you speak to your friends and or people in your school and not judging people. And every episode had a mission and it had something a story that I wanted to tell and teach the kids that were watching. And so it was about bullying basically. And so that was a little weird to be oh, you're that teen mom.
Well, that's just a lot. That's a lot of expectation on you at such a young age, because instead of just acknowledging you're working on the show, there's a lot of subject matter that comes along with that.
Yeah. And it was weird because on the show, the purpose of the show was to get kids to not bully each other, to learn a lesson. And that episode ended up making kids bully me in school.
Did they adopt those words and terms, kind of making fun of
It wasn't as direct. Like, it wasn't as, like, mean per se, but, like, little comments. You know how girls can be.
Yeah.
I was going to say it was probably, yeah. I mean, you were working on, like, the biggest show, like, there was teen show in Canada.
There was a bit of jealousy, too, sometimes. Like, not always and not with everyone, but at some, like, there was a few moments where, like, some girls would be like, oh, you're, like, on that show. You're the pregnant girl. But not everyone. Like, that's, like I said, I did have a good solid group of friends, so it wasn't the case with everyone. But every now and then there was like, there was a Mean Girls crew in my high school, like in the movie. Like, it felt like I was in the film. It was hilarious.
And were they the popular kids and they walked around and kind of?
100,000%. Wow. And everybody hated them and loved them. And I definitely wanted to be one of them so badly.
Oh, yeah. Where are they now? I wonder what they think of you now.
I don't know. I mean, a couple of them I've seen every now and then, and I know what they're up to, but I don't want to name names.
Yeah, of course not. I thought it was the coolest thing that Drake had you guys all back for his music video.
That was cool.
For Degrassi. Yeah. That was so cool.
It was fun. We had a good time.
Did you guys go, was this something that had been, was it kind of like off the cuff and you guys all just showed up, or had this been planned for a while, or how did that happen?
Very last minute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I happened to be in New York, which is like an hour flight from Toronto, which was really convenient. But I found out on like a Tuesday, and then I was shooting it by Thursday. Like, they just told us, they asked us if we were interested and or available, and then they like flew us out.
Did everyone make it for the most part?
Almost everyone made it. Yeah. Yeah. Almost everyone was able to make it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, we all, like, more than anything, it was a reunion of sorts. Mm-hmm. We all see each other a lot more because we all live in LA, and we don't even see each other as much as I'm sure we'd like to. But with the show, a lot of the kids were adults now. A lot of us adults haven't seen each other since we were kids. So it was a true reunion. Mm-hmm. True reunion.
Do you feel like everyone's grown up a lot? Like, I would assume, I mean, we filmed a high school show, but we were all more like in our 20s, and some people were close to their 30s, and, you know, and so we were kind of out of that high school. But to be filming a high school show with people who are still in high school, did that play a part into, like, now looking back, are you like, oh my God, we were just babies?
We definitely were just babies. And it made me grow up a lot faster than I probably would have otherwise, in good ways and in bad ways. I feel like I did miss a bit of my high school experience because I was not homeschooled, but on set, there's teachers. So I spent a lot of days on set and missed a lot of days at school. And so I remember my last year, I really almost wasn't there. Like, I barely was in actual school because I was shooting so much. And when prom came around, I like showed up and everyone was like, hey, you're still here. And I felt like I missed out. There's a lot of like inside jokes that I didn't know. Yeah. And like, it was still fun, but I missed something. Like, there's, in the same way that when I went to college and then eventually decided to leave, like, I missed that experience. I'm fine, obviously. It worked out for me, but there's something that I wish I could have experienced that a little bit more.
There's a sense of camaraderie and being able to look other people in the eye at a dinner party and be like, oh my God, yeah, because, you know, like, senior year this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way as well, Candace? Because you moved out here to LA and missed your last few years of high school too. So it's interesting that, like, we all sort of like had the experience but also missed out on it as well, you know?
I weirdly don't. Like, I think I got really lucky moving to LA and meeting such a great group of girls. So I felt like I actually had better friends out here than I did back in Orlando. And I didn't miss it. Like, I couldn't have been more ready to get out here. And I didn't even tell anyone I was leaving. I took halfway through my junior year, I took my last test and I just looked around and I was like, I've got a one-way ticket to LA and I'm not coming back here.
Oh, wow.
And I like would pop back in. I walked with my graduating class for my parents. Nobody recognized me. And after 11
did
and
you
a
have
half,
red hair? Is that
yeah,
why
I had red hair.
You? Okay.
Red hair and a spray tan. And this is like 2005 spray tan. So, you know, it was funky. And that was it. Like, I still don't really.
Is it because you had a bad experience with people in high school and then you just didn't connect enough?
I did and I didn't.
I
connected with people. Like, I was fine. Like, I would be able to go in the lunchroom and find a place to sit.
I didn't feel like there was like this crazy amount of bullying. I actually kind of, the popular kids that I saw as popular kids, I became friends with them towards the end. And, but I just, it wasn't my thing. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't my thing.
You either have a connection or you don't. Like, it's
yeah.
Like
the,
yeah. You.
I just knew
they're
that
your
I wanted
people
to be
or they're not your yeah. people. Yeah, it's almost as
Plus,
simple as that.
Plus, we all played high school for years and years anyway, yeah. so we got to relive it forever. Well,
we did enough. yeah. Enough
That's
decade
the punishment
dances.
That you left early, you will be in high school forever.
yeah. Prom might have felt weird, but how many decade dances did you get to go to?
I got to go to so many decade dances and a couple of proms on television.
I remember being so jealous of you guys in your cute decade outfits. Like, you guys always had the cute, and then at season one, there was also like some ball that you guys also had to learn this dance for.
Oh, God.
I don't know. The Founders Day of,
and
something.
Wait, remember we shot that at Evander Holyfield's house?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's cool.
It was so crazy.
It was really trippy. Yeah. He's the one of the biggest properties I think I've ever been on.
It's called Evander Holyfield Lane.
Named
the street.
Wow.
And I'm not giving that away. You can Google it on maps. Like, it's not a secret. But so all of this, so Degrassi happened in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone lived in Toronto by then, because I know that you were born in Bulgaria.
Yes.
And
everyone in my family.
Everyone right? in your family, yeah, lived in Toronto. And then what was...
Well, like my immediate family. My mom, my dad, my brother, everyone else, like the extended family was all still in Bulgaria.
And were they like... cool, you want to get into acting, this is awesome? Or were they like, no. Like, I know your mom's an artist, but your dad is...
No, he's not, yeah.
It's he's an engineer
he's,
or something?
He's like, he works in technology and computers. And neither one of them was very supportive at the very beginning. Because it first started off as modeling.
Mm.
I wanted to be a model.
And
so how did you make the transition? Like, how did it all start?
I went on set and then they wouldn't let me talk. And you know how I am.
Wait, how did you
I need to
But how did
talk.
You show up on a set? You know what I mean? Did you get an agent?
Hold on. This is just,
it's a long time
did
ago.
Did we stump ya?
Yeah, it was a long ass time ago. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking A, you can.
It was a long fucking time
But we're gonna bleep
ago.
That out. We're gonna bleep that out. No, oh. I'm kidding.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, I think I got...
Were you stopped in a mall? Please tell me you were stopped in a mall. I love those stories
like that might
so
be
much.
That happened a lot that in Toronto. That did happen a lot. I remember because it happened to a lot of my guy friends in Toronto where they get stopped in the mall.
Oh, I thought you meant to you.
No.
Oh my God, I love it.
No.
The equivalent in Florida was
if you
were...
It was worse though. No, Candace, it was worse. I would be walking with my friends in the mall and they'd stop us and I'd be like, this is my moment. They're going to recruit me. And then they'd talk to my friend or my guy friend and then walk away and I'd be like, God damn it. I thought this was my big break. They wouldn't
horrifying.
Even pay attention to me.
Yeah, so for the kids listening, back in the olden days, you'd walk around a mall and hopefully a talent scout would look you in the eye and be like, you need to be in magazines.
You're the next Channing Tatum and or Angelina Jolie. That's
exactly.
literally how it would happen. But not to me.
So
no,
you
no.
end up on a set somehow and realize that you want to start talking and you're pushing your parents for acting. Because you, I mean, getting on Degrassi.
I do remember how
age.
It is okay. now. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Just got to me. It was some sort of like a family friend was a hairstylist and there was this like, he was doing a hair show, which was kind of like a modeling show where they need models to cut their hair and do styles. And then they walk down like almost like a test for the hairstylist. And so that was my first thing. They cut my hair and did this crazy, I'll try to go back in time in my camera roll and see if I can, it was gnarly. It was horrible and terrifying.
Can you describe it
but
for
I've
us?
But I've never been more excited in my life. Like I literally, I felt alive.
That's
in
amazing.
A way that school never made me feel. And yeah, it was like spiky and up and the makeup was bright and big and the outfits were, because it was like clothing, hair, makeup. And it was emerging hairstylists and emerging makeup artists and clothing designers. So it was funky.
So everyone was making a statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to live with that statement for a year after. But that was the first thing. And then someone there was like, you should model. And then that person connected me to that person. And that's kind of how it happens. I mean, you like one thing leads to the other. And I got pictures done and the pictures introduced me to the photographer. And then the photographer whatever it was. But again, I didn't like it because at that time, before Instagram, before the Cara Delevingne's and the Kendall Jenner's and all the Instagram people who now are like public personas, and they hire them because of who they are and their opinions and what they stand for. And they, their personalities play a big part in that. In fact, I've been told that
it's okay.
I've been told
the dogs are at the door and they're really cute right now.
I've been told that now they choose the models because you need to have a personality and a presence on set. Like you can't just stand there and look pretty anymore, which is great. I think it's important to have an opinion and speak your mind and not just be a clothing rack for people.
But it used to be the opposite, right?
It used to be the opposite.
Where they would just kind of want someone to show up and like not stir the pot and just be pretty and
show
put clothes
up, do your job and get out.
And that's why you hated it?
Yeah, I did it first, like literally a few months. And it felt weird. Like also auditions, they would call them casting calls.
Castings.
You just show up and you stand there and they look at you and they like nitpick every tiny little thing, and then you don't really say anything. They don't really say anything. Then you walk out, then you either get the job or you don't, just physically, just based on physical appearance. And that just didn't feel good to me either.
Of course not. Auditioning as an actor is hard enough, but there's so much more preparation and
at least it's like something you do. Yeah. You're like you're prepping for something. You're putting a lot of thought into it. You're putting yourself out there and it's from within you, from your brain, from your soul, from your heart, not just because of the outside, which will eventually fade and go away.
Mm-hmm. So you auditioned for a while. Obviously, yes. Degrassi's a huge get. At what point did you choose to leave the show, or was it just the character was done? Did you move to LA? What was that transition from Degrassi to Vampire then?
I was on the show for a few years. I think I can't remember if the contract was 2 or 3 or 4 years. I'm bad.
3 years.
I think you were on the show for 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. Okay. So my contract was for maybe 2 years, and then they optioned me for one more, and I agreed, I think. And then my contract was up, so I moved to LA to try pilot season. And that's when I met.
And that was your first pilot season.
That was my first pilot season. I met you guys. Wow. I got the show. And then they hadn't closed off my arc on Degrassi yet, though. So I had to shoot the pilot. And then I went to Toronto. And then they had to write me out in the next season of Degrassi. And they had to make up, like, in one episode, they had to, like, make up a reason why my character was leaving. So they made me a model.
Full circle.
They made my character a model who got this big campaign in Milan or Italy Milan is in Italy, or France or somewhere. And so my character got shipped off to Europe to pursue modeling, and then she never returned.
Never came back.
I love it. And then Elena Gilbert was born.
Yes. And then you and I, after shooting the pilot, moved in together.
I remember your guys' place so vividly.
Yes.
It was you had lived there, Candace, for a few years.
I lived there for 4 years.
Did someone move out and then you needed a roommate?
No, I just had like really random, like I hadn't lived with many people. I would just randomly have people
stay with
you for small chunks of time.
But she was throwing me a bone, essentially.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm homeless.
Like, and she was like, come down.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
And we're back. When I first met you, Nina, like right after the pilot, you had called me and your car was broken down and you had it at some repair shop and you were like, I have no car. I have no, and this was before Uber or anything. And you're like, can you come pick me up in Venice? You were staying at your boyfriend at the time's house. Can you come pick me up and take me to my car? Because like, I guess I can just call a taxi. And I just remember thinking you were so young and in this big city with your car, like getting your car fixed
No family, no friends.
Like you didn't know anyone. And your boyfriend at the time, I think you guys had been dating for a little bit, but it wasn't.
You can tell the people.
Okay,
the
I didn't
truth.
Know how much I was supposed to say.
We had got broken up.
Yeah, you guys were like on the verge of breaking up. So like that relationship wasn't helpful at all. And I just remember thinking like, wow, this young, and you were just so, none of it bothered you and you figured it out. And I remember thinking, oh, this girl, you can handle anything. And it's really true. And I remember Julie Plec saying that about you too. Like when they met you, they were like, oh no, she can handle this show. At such a young age. I mean, how old were you, 20 or 19?
I was 20.
20. I mean, you were so young though. And I just like admired that. And I'm like older than you going, wow, this girl's got her shit together. It's so great.
This girl's got her shit together. She says right after describing that I was alone after I had a car accident, couldn't.
But you were handling it. That's what I mean. Yeah, no, I know. Just, like you had so much falling apart, but you were handling it so well. And on top of that, like this huge show was happening and I don't know. It was just really cool.
Were you scared now looking back? I know you would never admit it in the moment, knowing your like you and your personality. But now looking back, like, were you scared? Were you homesick? Because that's a lot of change in a small amount of time.
There was moments of fear and insecurity that were reserved only for privacy. Mm. Like not privacy, but when I was alone, like I would never. You're right. I would never really show or tell anyone that I was scared or needed help. It was a fight or flight mentality. And then I would break down at home by myself. Mm. But I also was used to having to figure things out. Like that wasn't really, that was kind of my normal. Like it's always been an uphill battle since I was little. And that's why it doesn't, like if anything, as scary as that might have been at that specific incident, I was also way more overwhelmed with excitement to be in LA, to have gotten to this point, to make it here. Cause also from Canada to get to the States, like it's even harder now because of Trump. But before that, it was just as pretty challenging to get a visa and be allowed to be here and be allowed to work in the United States. So like there's so many hurdles and things to get to go through to get to here. That that it was just exciting to be here. So that was just like a hiccup and like a bump in the road at that time. But obviously in the moment, it was probably super dramatic and I was, yeah.
Do you think that your ability to be so independent stems from just working in this industry at a young age or things that your parents instilled in you? Like culturally, do you think?
Both. I think that it started with the culture that I came from and my parents because we're Eastern Europe. Yeah, I chalk it up to being Eastern European all the time. And I think it's true. Like the my parents had to leave their home country not speaking a language and move to another continent and work odd jobs. And we didn't really, like, we didn't have a lot. And I always wanted, like, I never really had a lot. So I always had to get what I wanted by working hard. And it was just instilled in me from a young age that I had to get jobs. I had to do chores. Like, I had also figured out like ways to sneak around the system.
That's what you're very good at. We need to talk about that at some point.
That's my brother. I got that from my brother.
Really?
Yeah, because like it was not a competition, but like we were competing for our parents' time and energy and like we didn't have things. So we'd have to like figure out how to get them. And if there wasn't like a clear path, we'd have to make it.
Wow. So how much older is he?
5 years. 5 years older.
You guys are pretty close now. Were you close back then?
No.
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 It was competitive.
It wasn't always competitive. At first, it was admiration on my part. Like, I loved him and wanted to be like him. And I was 5 years younger. So if you're 10, your five-year-old little sister is annoying to you. And when you're 15, your 10-year-old sister is really annoying to you because you're going through puberty and you're in high school. And she's, like, I was not cool to him. And all I wanted was to hang out with him. And I was annoying. And I'm pretty persistent. So I wouldn't just say, like, hang out with me. I'd, like, be holding his leg as he tried to walk out the door and he'd have to kick me off. Like, I was annoying. So I get it. I kind of feel bad. I've apologized to him since. but now that we're older, we are a lot closer because when you get older, the age gap doesn't feel as big. We're just adults now. We both are independent. We both have our own things to do. And so when we see each other, it's because we choose to see each other.
Yeah.
So you get to LA. You've booked this huge show, filmed the pilot. We're living together. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite stories that I actually brought up to you yesterday.
Thank you.
Oh my God. For giving me
a home.
Oh my God. Of course. sorry that there were so many bugs.
Explain. You have to explain.
No, Nina was like, Candace, I think that there's like bugs. And I was like, girl, she's like, no, look at my arm. I've got bug bites on my arm. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I've never seen a bug. I've zero, like, I don't see any bugs. And then when we went to Atlanta to film the show, Julie had a friend stay at my place and rent it out. And he was like, there's fucking bugs. And not only like claimed that there were bugs, but found them and bagged them up. And I felt so bad and like so mortified.
What kind of bugs?
I still don't know. He thinks they were not bed bugs. He thinks they were bed bugs, but
he
there
said
was,
bed bugs. But I don't. Yeah, I don't.
Because otherwise, it would have been the entire. And it was an old building. The whole building was covered with ivy. It was. It was my apartment. It was called the House of Mirrors. Like literally, the entire wall. I know this sounds crazy, but all of the walls were mirrors, and there were hidden doors.
Yeah,
to go from like so the living room to the kitchen, and like
it was massive too for West Hollywood for what we were paying.
You guys threw maybe what I was the paying. Most epic birthday party, joint birthday.
You guys, no. Right? It was Nina. Nina, you threw some party where I was just like, I've never had this many cool people over in my entire life.
And the entire back entrance was like open. There was like a massive parking lot behind the building and it was packed with people.
It was your birthday.
It might have been my birthday. Yeah, I think it was your birthday. Yeah. And then it was like, we had margarita machines.
I did provide the margarita
that
machines.
That was the biggest party and we were so young and thought we were so cool. And I think it was right before we left to go to Atlanta. So life was just at such a peak at such a young age.
And then transitioning from roommates, Nina and I went from living together to Kayla and Nina yeah. living together in Atlanta.
And we picked the most random part of Atlanta to live in. But I remember.
Well, because we didn't see it before we, like, we booked it sight unseen.
I think I went with a real estate agent and she was like, this is a really good part of town. This is where you should go. And I was like, this seems nice.
They would tell us that. They're trying to get a sale.
But I remember we had a balcony and across the way, the building had like a, your sign here, like an average, and we could put anything. And we would joke every morning that we would like put like, good morning, Kayla and Nina, like on the sign. We're like, I wonder how much that would be.
I wish we'd looked into it.
Yeah, me too.
Because it was probably not as bad as it would be. Like nowadays, I feel like billboards cost, I mean, at the time we still wouldn't have been able to afford it, but one can dream.
Yeah.
Well, we had all really bonded at that point because we'd filmed the pilot. We've talked about the pilot a lot on this show and our whole experience in Vancouver.
Which now's my time to apologize.
Why?
I've been wanting to apologize. I heard the podcast.
Oh, no.
I heard the podcast where you talked about the driver who was so rude to you during the pilot and told you to sit at the back of the bus like we were in the fucking 20s or something, which is wasn't okay then, isn't okay now, will never be okay. And I'm so sorry. I can't believe that happened.
Well, we talked about it immediately. And I really think that the driver just had like a like protective crush on you in a weird way because
which is creepy you would,
which is already creepy but you had already been filming and so I think that which and you were so cool. I remember asking you like, hey girl, like do you get car sick? For any of the listeners that don't know, basically I came down early to get into the bus and it was my first
day
filming
time, and I'm always late for everything
because one of us likes to be on time. So I sit down in the front and I'm like, hi, good morning, I can't wait to film today. You know, and the driver's there and the driver says, excuse me, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm here. I'm going to be filming. He's like, no. This isn't your show. Like this is Nina's seat. Cause she's the star of the show. So you just need to sit in the back.
That's so messed up.
And I was like, oh, and I'd never been on a pilot. I'd never filmed anything before. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what? Like, I don't know anything. And then I talked to you about it later that day. And I was just asked if you get like car sick for any reason and you need the front seat. And you were like, no, fuck that guy. Like, I did not mean to say it. Like, I've never said anything. I can't believe
it was
said
the first
that
day
to
of
you.
Shooting. I never even met that guy.
And then you sat like next to me in the van for like any time we shot together.
To make a statement.
Yeah, to make a statement. And I was like, okay, this girl's cool. I like her. But we had some really good times. We've showed the pictures of us cooking breakfast together on Easter morning. We had a really special times on the pilot.
Yeah, we also had we've had a lot of highs and lows, and we also got fake arrested together.
We did, yes.
All three of us.
That is the most bizarre, still to this day, one of the most bizarre experiences of my life.
It's just so weird. Do we have any theories yet? Are we still, we don't even know why.
Has
enough time gone by that we can talk?
Yes, they wanted money.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but
that was it.
I had a different theory.
What's your theory?
If we're allowed to talk about that right now.
Let's save that theory.
Okay.
But they genuinely got calls that we were trying, someone was trying to jump off the bridge.
Which we weren't, by the way. We were doing a photo shoot.
We were leaning.
We weren't even doing a photo shoot. We were going on a trip to Savannah. We were doing a road trip and we saw a pretty view. So we stopped to take a photo.
And Candace's boyfriend at the time was a photographer. And he was like, oh, I'll take your guys' photo.
So we took a picture. The police got called that there might be a suicide
attempt. The first thing that came out of our sweet little mouths were, oh no, we're all actresses and we just got on this new hit show. We can't get in trouble.
And so they told us to follow them to the police station.
We
which
weren't
is,
arrested for real. We never got fingerprinted. It wasn't a real case number. We got ticketed.
We didn't even get handcuffed. We drove ourselves to the police station like idiots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mel's laughing. Like, what are you guys thinking?
It's true. And then they told us, this is my favorite, Mel. They said, you guys, leave all of your belongings in your car. You can't bring anything in. So we left everything.
I mean, we were young and they were really intimidating. And I think we were just like, oh my God, we don't want to get fired or like in trouble and we want to do the best we can do. So just listen to what they're telling us.
So we get inside and they go, okay, now you guys just need to pay us like a couple grand and then you can leave.
You won't and, get like no consequences. You just pay us money.
And then they told us to leave our money in the car.
And we're like, well, all of our money's in the car. And they're like, well, we don't know what to tell you. So luckily my boyfriend at the time like had someone wire money to them. And then that's what got us out of the situation. And then it
which
just
which is fun. Ridiculous.
And then the first
didn't
day
we have to call a bond person?
No, I think that's what
he had someone like wire money.
Yeah. I remember they gave us cards. Like they give you cards in jail for bond companies.
Which that's a cyclical thing anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Know.
But we made it, guys.
But on top of it, which was so weird, is they took our picture.
They took
We're
our
all
picture.
Smiling in these photos.
Yeah.
And then they released the thing and made it into this like stink, but we never got arrested, but they made it seem like we got arrested. And I still think to this day that it was a publicity stunt and that's they like wanted to get attention from it. And
yeah.
They made us look bad even though we didn't do anything.
I'll never forget how I found out. I was just sitting at Crafty with Paul and we're like sitting there and eating. And he literally just slides his phone over. He's like, did you see this? And I was like, what? See what? And he's like, I haven't said anything to the other girls, but like, did you see this? And I was like, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it was TMZ or something.
Yep.
Right hours before the show premiered. And perfectly timed.
By the way, that was the time. The timing was why I think that is because this happened 4 weeks before the show was ever on the air. And then suddenly on the day of the premiere that the pilot ever airs on television, suddenly,
and it
three
was like,
hours before, there's an
before
article.
Before it aired in East Coast time. It was like perfectly timed.
All I know is I was in LA and I was at the Vampire Diaries writer's office and they were all saying, congratulations. This is the best PR that we could ask for.
Exactly.
And I was thrilled.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Candace thought it was the greatest thing ever and flies back and is like, this is amazing. And all of us are like in tears, like horrified.
I was like, guys, this is let's call Funny or Die. Like we're going to kill it. This is great.
Which in hindsight is a great way to react, but I don't, It was a big deal.
It was, we were bawling and crying because we thought it was the end of the world. We all thought we were going to get fired. The show was going to end because we'd gotten fake arrested.
so stupid.
Really wanted to explain ourselves and say that nothing really happened. It was so, and Sarah Canning specifically.
Oh my God, I know.
Because, but the two, 50% of the group could be deported
because
we were all on visas. So we both thought that we were going to get deported and sent back to Canada. Because our reputations had been tainted.
Oh, my God.
And cut to 10 years later, we're like laughing about
it. I mean, we learned a lot in a short amount of time. That's for sure.
Oh, my gosh. I've been on the straight and narrow since.
Yeah. That's a really good thing, though. You are so adventurous and crazy. I mean, you've done some of the craziest things in your life. What? You've swam with sharks, right?
Yeah.
Have you? And then did you skydive?
Yes.
What's like the another super crazy thing?
You breathe fire breathing.
Oh, yes. I've done that too.
That's like your party trick.
That's my party trick.
Safaris.
Yes.
I've literally ran from lions that have run after me to attack me. But that was a group thing. We all did. We all ran together. That was on safari recently. And bungee jump. Parasailing.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life.
every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And we're back. You've always been an adventurous person, but not like this. This is a whole other level of adventure.
I'm convinced that Drake wrote the YOLO song about me. I'm going to say that on record right now. I'm taking that back. You didn't write it about me before the rumor gets started.
No, good. Let's start it.
I don't know. I really don't know. I do. My brother. I think it's, again, my brother. He was always like a jockey, adventurous type, and he was a boy. And in order to fit in with him, I would try to do anything he did. And he always did crazy, dumb things. And we would, we call it Lake Life, which we did in Atlanta as well. Mm-hmm. During Lake Life in Toronto, we would jump off of like rocks and cliffs and things. And so I think it started there, and it was scary, but because I had to be competitive and like do what he did. And then it was, and then because people thought as a girl who was younger that I wouldn't do it, when I did do it, they'd get so excited. And it was like a award system thing. They'd be like, yeah, oh my God, you did it. Woo. And obviously as a little kid, that builds up your confidence. And you're like, oh, if I do this, it'll get this reaction. That means I'm cool. That means they like me. Hmm. Keep doing dumb shit.
So what's next? How do you one up what you've already done?
I don't know.
And can you?
I think I've peaked.
Well, something that, so last summer, we took a 3-week family vacation to Italy. And mm-hmm. I can't remember if I've talked about this on the show, but Joe was really gung-ho about renting these Vespas in Tuscany. Sounds like a dream. Sounds like something you would jump to do. Kayla, even sounds like something you would jump to do. This is my nightmare. I was like, Joe, this is your thing. I will just watch you and take your photos. So he's like, well, will you drive the car? Because I'm going to rent one for me and one for Elise. And then you'll just drive the car back. And I was like, great. It's like a 45-minute drive to get to the Vespa rental place on all these like windy Tuscan roads. And we get there and he like comes to me and he's like, so don't be mad. And I was like,
it's always a great intro to any conversation.
He's like, I forgot you don't know how to drive stick. You're going to have to drive the Vespa back. And I was like, no, I'm not. And he's like, no, they're just going to give you a little tutorial. And the tutorial, by the way, is like like in the middle of nowhere, Italian man just being like, okay, yeah,
drive the Vespa.
You go yes, you go no. You hit this button, you will crash. And I was just like, No. And 45-minute drive, guys. And so I've never been more terrified in my life. And I was just sitting on this thing and I literally hit a moment where I was like, what would fucking Nina Dobrev do? She would have to do this. And I can do this too. And I was like singing like That's Amore really loud to like calm my nerves.
Can you give us a little preview right now?
Yeah, I was just like, in the morning, it's the... And then the car would come and I'd be like, oh my God.
That's a great motto.
I'm so proud of you.
What would Dobrev do?
Thank you, because you are such an adventurous person. And even on your Instagram, you're always like sliding down some fucking slides and flipping. And I don't, you're always doing something. And
well, I don't post videos of me sleeping. It's not like that doesn't happen in between those moments.
But I respect that and I appreciate it. But even in the way that you operate as a businesswoman, I mean, I remember being at Comic-Con with you and we're walking through like the big Warner Brothers party and Conan O'Brien walks by and I'm like, where did Nina go? And you like walked right up to him and like pointed at him and you're like, hey, Conan, I'm Nina Dobrev. I really want to be on your show.
And I don't remember that.
Yeah. And he was like, cool, talk to my booking person. That's awesome. Within a few weeks, you were on a show.
Whoa.
Like,
I don't remember that.
You That's really awesome. Don't remember
no.
that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't doubt it. I believe it.
I also remember on the interview, when you were on his show, he said, yeah, you like came up to me and were like, I want to be, yeah, we'll find the clip.
I think I may have said I don't remember that to him too, but.
But you do that and you just have this fearlessness about you. Do you, like, when you're in a room and you see someone you admire, do you just walk up to them?
Yeah, all the time.
And that is my nightmare. Like, I hide from people. I'm like, do not meet your heroes. Something weird's going to come out of my mouth. And, like, but that's the thing. Like, what drives you?
And there also, by the way, have been times where, like, there have been hashtag fails. During those
moments.
Doesn't
seem like there's many that fail.
I feel like
way,
Elise
though.
Would be really proud of me that I just said hashtag fail. No, there have been. There definitely have been. But I've learned tricks. I feel like now, Like, I used to just be fearless and confident, and sometimes people don't respond to confidence positively. They're like either intimidated by it, or they're a little jarred by like a complete stranger walking up to them. So now, like, I have to find a way to like be bold, but also be
read the room
and be vulnerable, or like find something self-deprecating to relate, like something that like you can. I don't know. I'm explaining this
a common factor yeah. between you and the person that you're talking to.
Yeah,
I feel like that with like having kids. Usually, like if someone else has a child, or like, and it comes up, or someone's like, "Oh my God, you both are raising teenagers!" Like,
yeah.
immediately we can roll into that, and there's a like common denominator.
Exactly. Like you have to have something to say. You can't just walk up and say hi. Like you have to, like in that case that you just brought up. It was, hi, I want to be on your show. Like, there's a purpose. Like, there's something, I'm here for a reason. I want to talk to you. I've walked up to people in the past and been like, hi, you're amazing. And they're like, thank you. And then I expect the conversation to keep going, but I'm like so starstruck that I'm like, I don't have anything else. I don't know what else I'll say. And then it's awkward and it's weird. And then I see that person again because we go to the same parties. And then they like avoid me like the plague because they're like, oh, there's that weird girl.
It's so funny to think how stars are also starstruck.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? Like how
100,000%.
Who's the one person that you've been the most starstruck to see or meet?
I'm trying to think because there's been a lot.
Like Beyonce? You met Beyonce? To me, that's like Beyonce or Oprah.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, yes, there have been times where there have been people that I've wanted to say hi to, but because I've been too, like, I don't have anything to say. Like, I don't have a common denominator. Like, I'm not a queen bee. I don't, like, I have been in the same room as Beyonce many times, and I've not gone up to talk to her. Because I don't know what I would say.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yet. Yeah, I haven't reached. Yeah, I need to drink some more honey or something.
Now that we put it out there, watch. It'll happen.
Exactly. You'll love this. So
but maybe now this is my thing. I'll walk up to her and be like, hey, I did a podcast. I talked about how I've been in the same room as you a million times. I've never come to say hi. So here I am.
There you go. That's all you need. This is a good lesson too for our listeners, not just on like a smaller life scale. If there's someone like you've been wanting to talk to at school or whatever, and you just go up and like find a common denominator and start a conversation.
Yeah.
You never know. It might lead you to being on Conan O'Brien.
You will love when we were in Vegas the other weekend. We were at this club where Wyclef John was performing. And someone said, do you want to go meet him? And I was like, oh my God, no. You know me, don't meet my heroes. Something's going to get weird. And I'm going to say something weird. Like, oh my God, I haven't seen him perform since I was 18. Like, and oh, he brought people up on stage to dance. And I was like drunk and 18 and like dancing on stage at a Wyclef John concert. Somehow that got translated into something completely different. And a few minutes later, someone brings him over and is like, Candace, hi. So Wyclef, this is Candace. She used to be your backup dancer.
Oh my God.
And he was like, Candace, it's been so long. And I was like, no. It wasn't me that was your back. I was drunk and 18, danced on your stage. That's all.
This is why you don't want these situations to happen. They always end up like this.
Yes. And I was like, it's cool. And he was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go perform now. And I was like, yes, Wyclef, you kill it. You got this.
I'll be on stage soon. BRB.
Yeah. I was just like, what was that? He was like, you said you danced on stage with him. I was like, drunk.
As a teen. Not a backup dancer. Also, just the image of you dancing back up to Wyclef John is amazing.
I would die.
So that's what happens when I meet my heroes.
Yeah, but you did actually sing for Miley Cyrus, did you not?
I did. Yeah, she was awesome. I've not seen her in a million moons. I think the last time I actually saw her was when I brought you to her concert.
Yeah.
Season one of Vampire Diaries.
Yes, I remember that. That's so much cool. Has changed. She's like, she's gone through so many iterations and like, she's such a woman now and she's married and they're everywhere and seems so happy. It's so awesome.
And she's a badass.
You're married. Everyone's married but me.
Oh man. Well, now you're 30. Yeah. Welcome. TikTok. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. So I have a feeling a lot of people wanted to hear some Vampire Diaries stories, which would take up a whole other episode. So I just want to keep it simple and ask you, now that it's been some time, is there something that really sticks out about your experience working on that show that you didn't appreciate at the time, but that you appreciate now? You know what I mean? Mm. Like, obviously in the moment, it's easy to recognize all the things you love that are fun. Because we had a lot of fun times filming together and not filming together, just hanging out outside of that. Mm-hmm. But is there something now that you are 30 and kind of looking back at this huge chunk of your 20s where you're like, wow, this really shaped me?
Yes. So many things. I'll never forget. This is a fun little fact that I don't know if we've kind of talked about it. Paul and I didn't get along at the beginning of the show. I respected Paul Wesley. I didn't like Paul Wesley. And I remember everyone would walk up to me after the show aired and they'd be like, are you and Paul dating in real life? Because everyone thought that we had such good chemistry because from the show, but
you did have, you did have really good chemistry.
Yeah. But I realize now that, there's a fine line between love and hate, and we despised each other so much that it read as love, but it was like burning we really just didn't get along at the first maybe 5 months of shooting. And I've heard so many stories now of people, like, I'm not going to name names, but behind the scenes, like, our friends have worked with so many people. Like, most of the time, love interests in films and TV really don't get along, and that ends up reading as really intense chemistry. And I remember Paul Wesley in the pilot walking up to me. I can't remember if it was on set or if it was when we were all out one night. Maybe we had like a moment that was like we actually like connected and like had a good moment. And he looked at me and he's like, 10 years from now, when we're not on this show, you're going to really miss me. Like, we're going to be really good. You're going to miss these times, and you're going to miss this. Like, this is going to look like, you're going to look back and this is going to be the good old days, and you'll appreciate, like, we'll appreciate each other in 10 years. And he's so fucking right. He's so right. Like, we ended up getting to a good place and it was fine. But of everyone, I think I probably see him the most and hang out with him the most.
Now.
Like, I see you girls, obviously, but we are probably the closest. Like, we hang out a lot and we're really good friends, and I love his wife, and it's so funny how, like, time, how much
changes
has changed.
Everything.
Yeah, because I never thought that he would be one of my best friends.
Wow.
So,
do you think,
yeah,
also spending every day with someone for 8 years?
I think that's, yeah,
that
of course.
It also starts to feel almost like a sibling or something, where you just in and out, you know someone so well.
100%. Like, he's not a bad guy. There's not, like, it's not like he, obviously he's not a bad, like, I hang out with him now a lot by choice. But yeah, I think it was, when you work with anyone or are spending a lot of time with anyone, yes, little things are going to annoy you about them. It's like a relationship. We were basically married without. So, like, I mean, we were together every day. We were kissing and doing all this stuff, but we didn't have sex. So, so yeah, just like a marriage.
It is crazy though that, yeah, you spend so much time with a group of people on a set, especially that many years, and you kind of have your own little shorthand language with each other, mm-hmm, that parallels like what it feels like to be in a very large family, where there's things that you know about other people and ways you interact with other people that even your own family and partners at home don't really see.
Yeah.
And so
you end up seeing each other more than you see your family.
Mm, it's true.
So you become a family, and that's both good and bad. And you'll have, like, you go through ebbs and flows of times when certain people were closer, certain people were, like, didn't get along. Like, it was, but it was, but the through line was that we all loved each other, and it's just literally like family fights every now and then.
I also think the aspect of, and I don't know, this could be wrong, but for me, when you are changing into different clothing on set. And there's so much, it's just such a personal experience, like where you're so vulnerable, because I don't know many people that arrive to work in one pair of clothing and then end up completely changing. And like you're with each other in these intimate settings, like you're in a bed next to someone, or you're making out with someone, or you're fighting with someone, or you're crying with someone. There's so much vulnerability that's required every day with all these people that you do, it does feel like family, because you don't normally do that.
There's a lot of pressure involved. Like as much, like we actually had a very comfortable environment, but it's still like we're shooting a TV show that's going to be, that airs on television for millions of people. Like there's like that pressure career-wise. And so you take out some of that, like I took out a lot of that pressure on some of the people around me, and probably a lot on Paul Wesley, which is why we hated each other.
But you're right. Like, you guys were really young and had a significant amount of pressure and a lot of eyes watching your every move all the time, which is really hard.
Yeah. But at the same time, we also didn't, like, we weren't in LA, which I think is the biggest blessing of all.
I think that's why you guys have stayed normal, to be honest. That's my theory.
I think so,
because you weren't in LA shooting.
We weren't going to parties. We weren't going to events. We didn't have to. I mean, we did, like, but we would fly in and have to leave. Like, we didn't stay and make poor decisions. I mean, we did, but not as many poor decisions.
There wasn't the competitive edge of, you know, well, who's going to this red carpet? Who's going to that red carpet? It was either you're going to red carpet. Cool. Awesome. We're all going to the Krog Bar. And when you fly back in, come meet us. Yeah. You know, there wasn't that, which I think, but I feel like having friends that have filmed in New York or LA, that's kind of been at a young age, that's kind of been a tough headbutting thing that's come between them and castmates.
Got it. No, I
And that we didn't really have to deal with that. Yeah. I mean, especially when you're young, when you're older and you're just like, oh, I just want to go home anyway. But when you're young, you're like, no, I want to go to open bar. Yeah.
Here we go.
So now that you are 30, do you have like a mentor? I love to ask this question.
Or not just one, several.
I had a cool answer and I could say like.
But it's interesting because we always want to, we have like people who have their shit together on the show that are successful, and we always want to try and find a common thread between them all and like what makes you tick. And so is it that you have someone you look up to, or is it that you trust your gut, or what?
Do you have a mantra over a mentor?
Yeah, it's not like I didn't have one mentor. I've had a lot of people that have influenced me and who I've looked up to, who I've asked for advice. And for the most part, I feel like from a young age, I would look to people. It's kind of like what we talked about earlier, like that go-getting mentality. Like I would look to people in the industry who have achieved what I want. And I would sort of try to mirror their careers or like find out what they did and try to, like, that's how I started acting actually, because of Rachel McAdams. Like, she was from Canada. She was from a town just outside Toronto, and she was on this path and she was killing it, and all her movies were really cool, and I thought she was beautiful and funny and talented. And I found out what her acting coach was, and I found out like who her agents were, and I like tried to, like, that was the first step. And then nowadays I lean on my team a lot. Like, I've really curated a great team whose opinions I value very much. And they've crafted, actually, that I signed with these specific people because they represented the people that I looked up to in his careers I thought were amazing. And I basically walked in and was like, do that to me. I want that. And so when they tell me to either take a role or not take a role, or this is why this character is great, or this director is not great to work with, or avoid this, I listen to them. And we have a lot of conversations that are very, they're also direct with me. Like, I appreciate directness. If somebody tells me what I want to hear, I usually run away. I try to go towards people who will be honest with me, because the only way I'll grow is if somebody's brutally honest with me, and if I can't fix something if I don't know that it's broken. So that's been a big thing for me. And I think it started because my family was always so direct with me. So I need that directness in my life. That's a big thing.
What is something, looking back now in your 20s, that you know about yourself for sure? Even if you don't have everything figured out going into your 30s, what's something you can be like, yeah, that's what this decade has taught me?
It's just like the, I was trying, like I wanted things so badly, and my persistence. In fact, I related to Julie Plec's podcast a lot when you guys talked about this, like my desire and need, and my greatest asset was ultimately also my greatest downfall. My persistence also got me into a couple of like tight corners. When you're younger, you're supposed to be like more fresh, and I like would wear so much makeup on the show, and like that made me like that was a part of my identity. Like I felt like if I didn't go out in like full face of makeup, that I wouldn't be beautiful because they would cake it on, and that's what like what I decided I look like. And now as I'm older, I've done a 180, and I need to be as stripped down as possible. So it's like a little weird. That's the Benjamin Button part of the analogy. That I feel like I don't, I this is me. And now I'm okay with being like, I'm more comfortable with showing the world the stripped down version of me without the mask or the layer. And I don't need the rest of that. And it should be the opposite. Like you should get older and start wearing more makeup to look younger.
That's so refreshing though, especially such a good lesson for all the fans, because it, you know, at the end of the day, I think what makes everyone who they are is the real version of them, because yeah. If we all try to be the same, it's just boring.
Yeah. I was trying a little too hard to be something, and I'm finding more success and happiness and confidence by not looking for everyone's validation and not caring. Mm. In my 20s, I cared so much for people's validation. And now I don't really, in a weird way. And because of that, it's almost like a moth to the flame. Like now I feel the fact that I've pulled away, the energy is like coming towards me instead of like me chasing the energy.
That's a great way to go into your 30s.
Yeah.
One last question. Yeah. What is the most Canadian thing about you?
I say sorry. I don't say sorry. I actually don't. But I say sorry. Mm-hmm. I've learned how to say it the American way. But I do say it a lot. Mm-hmm. Like somebody will bump into me and I'll apologize to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, I can't help it. I've told myself, like, it's been a New Year's resolution for years to stop doing that, to stop, like, apologizing when it's not my fault. And I can't do it.
Can't.
I fail every year on January 1st.
On that note, sorry, guys, we got to end the interview.
That's good.
Wait, we didn't talk about Miami.
I know.
Time capsules.
I know. Well, we'll just have to do round two. A little closer to New Year's. Because yeah, maybe we all have a time capsule together that we are opening on New Year's Eve. So we might just have to do a follow-up to that.
Yeah. We have to. It's such a cool, iconic thing. It's a time capsule we've had for 10 years. And on the 10-year anniversary in this year, 2020, yeah, we will open the time capsule. And it's going to be so much fun. So we'll get into it at another time. But
maybe we can do it as the finale of this same season. Hey,
idea.
Opening. I'll be your opener and your closer.
Look at this producer over here. Well, thank you, Nina, for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
What are your socials so they can find you?
At Nina on Instagrams, and then at Nina Dobrev on Twitter, at Nina Dobrev on Facebook, and just Nina in real life.
Yeah.
Love it. Thanks for coming. We love you so much.
I love you guys.
I'm so happy we did that interview with her. She's the best.
I'm glad that we all got to get back together. Mm-hmm. The girls are back together. And just kind of walked on memory lane. And it's true. You know, we're all older now. We've known each other for a decade. And it's been really fun to watch each other grow, as well as just watching ourselves grow,
yeah,
into these budding women that we are. But I'm so excited that I think we have Nina coming back for the finale.
Absolutely. I mean, Nina, you guys, as she was leaving, was like, I'm coming back, right? And so now she wants to come back for the finale. So we'll definitely do that with her.
Well, we have a lot of episodes before we get there. We have a lot of topics we want to get to. If you guys have anything that you've felt directionally challenged about in your own life, let us know. You know, jump on Instagram. We're on the gram all the time. Mm-hmm. DM us, send us a message. Also, you can go
to the Apple Podcast app and write a review. You can leave a message there. We'll definitely look for it there.
We also have a email that you can email us at directionallychallengedpod@gmail.com. And we read that too. So we love all your ideas. We really listen to it. And we're just so grateful you guys are here. So make sure you stay tuned to listen next week because we have another great episode coming up. And we love you.